ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यभागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। न त्वं हरेरनुद्यातास् तत्पुंसामपि सम्मता कथं त्ववाद्यां कृतवन् अनुशिक्षन् सतं व्रतम्। स त्वं हरेरनुद्यातास् तत्पुंसम् अपि सम्मता कथं त्ववाद्यं कृतवान् अनुशिक्षन् सतं व्रतम्। Для тех, кто нуждается в переводе на русский язык, справа есть перевод. Саха, that person, твам, you, Hare, by the Supreme Lord, Anudyata, being always remembered, Tat, his, Pumsam, by the devotees, Api, also, Sammata, esteemed, Katham, why? To then avadyam, abominable, kritavan, you have undertaken, anusikshan, setting the example, satam, of saintly persons, vratam, a vow. Translation. Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord is always thinking about you. And you are also recognized by all His confidential devotees. Your life is meant for exemplary behavior. I am therefore surprised. Why have you undertaken such an abominable task? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Dhruva Maharaja was a pure devotee and was accustomed to always thinking of the Lord. Reciprocally, the Lord always thinks of those pure devotees who think of Him only 24 hours a day. As a pure devotee does not know anything beyond the Lord, so the Lord does not know anything beyond His pure devotee. Svayambhuva Manu pointed this fact to Dhruva Maharaja. Not only are you a pure devotee, but you are recognized by all pure devotees of the Lord. You should always act in such an exemplary manner that others may learn from you. Under the circumstances, it is surprising that you have killed so many faultless yakshas. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Satvam harer anudyatas tat pumsam api sammatah Katham tvavadyam kritavan anushikshan satam bratam. Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord is always thinking of you. You are also recognized by all his confidential devotees. Your life is meant for exemplary behavior. I am therefore surprised. Why have you undertaken such an abominable task?
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Sutarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanaka Vadata Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande jagat priya karo karuna avatara yantah pravishya mama vachim imam prasuptam sanjeevayate kila shakti darak svadamna anyam shahasta charana shravana tvagadim prananamo bhagavate purushaya tuvyam.
So Svayambhuva Manu in this verse is reminding Dhruva Maharaj about his position being a pure devotee. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says that when one is overwhelmed by anger, he forgets himself. Jayate vishayan pumsah sangaste shupanjayate sangas sanjayate kamah kamah krodgabhijayate krodat bhavati sammohah samohat smriti vibramah smritim brahmat brahmsat buddhinasho buddhinasat pranashyati. He said that after anger, illusion comes. And when the illusion comes within our heart, we forget, we lose our memory, we forget who we are. Basically, this is the intoxicating effect of the material association. When we develop some attachment to the material world, inevitably the desire comes, and desire, when it is unfulfilled, creates anger. And anger creates a powerful psychological effect within our mind. This anger makes us totally forget who we are. And this forgetfulness ultimately brings about the loss of our intelligence. We completely lose the discrimination which shows us or which helps us to behave in a proper way. So here, Svayambhuva Manu employs this technique by reminding Dhruva Maharaj who he is. Because in the fit of anger, this complete loss of memory, complete aberration of memory, creates the confusion in the minds of people, and they forget. The same thing was done by Lord Krishna when Arjuna was overwhelmed by grief. All these strong emotional reactions create the same kind of situation. One loses the intelligence, one loses the power to discriminate between what is wrong and what is right. So in the same way, when Arjuna, overwhelmed by grief, started blubbering, what should be done and what should not be done, Lord Krishna pointed out to him that you forgot who you are. You totally, completely lost the identity which is very strongly instilled in you. Actually, this is a very important point also, that the real culture, the proper culture, instills the proper identity. If we see the ways of Vedic culture, we can see that Vedic culture first of all teaches someone who he is in both material sense and a spiritual sense. You know, you are such and such, you have such and such lineage, you are from such and such gotra, you are stemming from such and such sage of the ancient time. And this is all the means to help one to understand how he should behave. Without understanding who I am, I will not be able to behave properly. So this is the first point of spiritual teaching, to understand who I am. And ultimately, after proper material identification, I am a Brahmana, I am from such and such background, I am from such and such family, then you can instill also the spiritual identification. You are the spirit soul, Aham Brahmasmi. But this all is needed to explain to the human being how they should behave. Because when you don't have ego, the identity, when you don't understand who you are, you don't understand what you should do. Sometimes people ask a bit prematurely this question, what should I do? Please tell us. Oh dear spiritual master, please tell me, what should I do? But the first question which we should have the answer for is, who I am? When you know who you are, then you will know what to do. One God Brothers of Srila Prabhupada gave a brilliant example of this. He said that during the Second World War in Calcutta, there was a big billboard, advertisement board. And on this billboard, there was a picture of the uniform, military uniform. And the slogan under the billboard was saying, dress up with this and you will know what to do. Basically the meaning is that if you want to know what to do, you have to understand who you are. And all this external identification help us to remind. Why do we dress in a certain way? Basically to remind us who we are and what the life is all about. That's why all this like also Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that one of the items of pure devotional service is Vaishnava Chinha, which means the external signs of Vaishnavas. You know, it's in one sense something surprising, because you can say, what does all these external signs of Vaishnavas have to do with pure devotional service? But they do have a lot to do with the pure devotional service, because this external science teach us how we should behave. Teach us and set the proper mood. When you have the proper dress, the proper signs on your tilak, on your forehead and everything, it sets a certain mood which helps you to behave properly, which helps you ultimately to acquire the proper intelligence, which will guide you in your behavior. So, therefore, Lord Krishna, in the beginning, as I said, he reminds Arjuna who he is. He says, Anarya Justam, Asvargyam. You know, you're doing something which is not proper, which is not according to the standards of Aryas. Aryas, the very word, the very Sanskrit word Arya, is coming from the word Rita. And Rita means the universal law. Rita means the harmony according to which the whole universe is created. So Arya is someone who knows this law and who can be in a rhythm. Basically the English word rhythm is coming from this Rita. Who can adjust his own intelligence and behavior according to the laws of nature. And Lord Krishna, he points out to Arjuna, you're an Arya. Your behavior is not becoming to a proper civilized person, cultured person. He reminds him how he should behave. So this is one first very important point that here Swayambhu Manu says that you are pure devotee. So much so that Lord
is constantly thinking about you. He doesn't say that you think about the Lord. He says the Lord is thinking about you, which is more important. And he says all the Vaishnavas also recognize you as such. He, in other words, he invokes the sense of responsibility in Dhruva. You should behave properly because you are a devotee in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of the devotees. When we are on our own, so to speak, we say, you know, anyway, who cares? You know, and we say, I'm fallen. If he would say to Dhruva Maharaj, you know, you are a devotee, you are a pure devotee, that wouldn't have such an effect. If somebody comes to you and say, oh, Prabhu, you are a pure devotee, you say, yeah, I know who I am. Please don't, don't try to cheat me. I know better who I am. So, and in this way, there may be a convenient justification. You know, well, what can I do? I'm fallen. But he says, no, you're a pure devotee because the Lord constantly thinks about you and because all other devotees recognize you as such. And therefore, you may have any conception about yourself. You may think that you're very fallen and, you know, unworthy and so on and so forth. But still, you have to behave properly. You have to do this sadhu anuvrata. You have to behave as sadhu is supposed to behave. Because everyone else is trying to learn from you, knowing that you are a devotee. You're famous as a devotee. Everyone knows that you are a devotee. And that's another very important point of this verse, is that we have to really understand that example which we set is extremely important. Because whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not, but we are influencing others by our example. No matter who we are, we may be a very, very insignificant creature somewhere in the corner of this temple room. But it is said by the modern psychologists, the modern psychologists studied it, and it's a known fact that any interaction which we have with other human beings influence other human beings. Basically, any interaction which we enter with others have some effect upon our consciousness. And we have to recognize this responsibility not only towards ourselves, how we should behave, but also towards the society of the devotees. Whether we want it or not, again, we do influence others with our behavior, especially if we take the position of prominence in the society. Lord Krishna himself, he very aptly and very strongly points out in Bhagavad Gita, yadyata charati shestas tatate vetara janak sayat pramanam kurute lakastata navartate. Whatever example you establish by your behavior, if you are shrestha, if you are somebody who is prominent in the society, others will follow you. And this is the human nature. This is the very essential human nature. And basically, this particular quality of human beings is the essence of being the human. It is said that in evolutionary cycle, the human life is the crossroads. And it's the crossroads only because the human being have the ability to imitate others. And therefore, having this ability to imitate others, learning from others' example, we're changing our moods. The human life is unique in the sense that you can develop yourself by learning from others, if you are taking the good example from others, and you can greatly degrade yourself. A dog cannot degrade himself. Neither he can elevate himself. He's a dog. It's fixed.
You cannot be too much degraded dog. He's already degraded enough. You know, so much so that he cannot learn anything else. But human being can degrade himself to the greatest extent. You know, human being can be lower than any animal. And human being can be higher than anyone else in the creation. Why? Because of this simple quality which we have, the ability to imitate others. There is the whole science of human behavior which is called memetics, and which particularly studies this ability of human beings. It is said that we have a so-called aping gene, the gene, you know, which helps us to imitate others. When we see the behavior of others, we immediately started learning from them. The little child, why the little child has a tremendous ability to learn, only because he's totally imitating everyone. He doesn't have any ego. You know, when we have big ego, then we are a little slow in imitating others. We think that everyone else should imitate us. You know, that's what big ego means. But when the ego is small and insignificant, we readily imitate others. You know, when the little child is, you know, seeing the parents, you know, he's blah, 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 papa, mama. They say, papa, papa, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. So, but this is the way to learn. This is the way to change. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, asat sanga tyaga e vaishnava char. There is only one quality which makes you a Vaishnava. And this one quality is that you reject the bad association. Because by bad association, you imbibe the bad qualities of others. You take the example, you imitate, whether you want it or not, you will imitate. This learning ability which is there in a human being, which makes us sadhakas. Actually, everyone is a sadhaka. If we take the human being, there are 6 billion sadhakas in this planet. Because everyone is engaged in some sort of sadhana. And sadhana means imitation. Sadhana is nothing else but imitation. You know, what we are doing as a sadhakas in Krishna consciousness movement, we are imitating great devotees. It's not that we really want to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Forget it. But we're imitating this behavior because we want to achieve the same goal. And this principle is there. If we want to achieve the goal, we have to take the behavior of somebody who has achieved this goal. And by imitating the behavior, by behaving the way somebody who is there, who has already achieved the goal, we can ultimately achieve the same goal. And that's the point. Therefore, this example is so important in human society. Therefore, Lord Krishna says this so strongly in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya himself says, Krishna Das Kaviraj in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the single reason why Lord has come again in the age of Kali is to teach others by his example. As Lord Krishna, he didn't bother to teach others by his example. I mean, he was, of course, teaching others by his example, but mostly he was teaching others by his precept. You know, we cannot really imitate Krishna. We try, but doesn't really work. You know, so many people try to do it, but it fails. You know, and if you really want to imitate Krishna, go to Govardhan Hill and try to lift it up. Then you will know how far your ability to imitate him go. You know, you may try to lift a little pebble from the Govardhan Hill and feel good about it. So, but ultimately, Lord Krishna was not teaching by his example. He was behaving, he was just more or less showing his lila, beauty of his lila, majesty and sweetness of his lila. And therefore we shouldn't imitate Krishna. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj says Because Lord Krishna didn't teach by his example, nobody followed what he said. He spoke Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita is such a strong book, but who follows Bhagavad Gita? It was not until Srila Prabhupada came and said, you know, this is Bhagavad Gita as it is, then somebody started doing something which Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya himself, he came. Why? The single simple reason is that he wanted to teach by the example. He said, Sarva Dharman Paritya Mamakam Saranam Raja. But, you know, who knows what it means? It's a nice saying, good saying, Sarva Dharman Paritya. Yes. If I have a bad wife, I just reject her and say, you know, Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritya. So I rejected my family dharma. You know, but Lord Chaitanya says what it means to surrender completely, 100% without any reservation. He comes and he says himself. He says, if you want to teach others, you have to behave. Of course, before Lord Chaitanya, in Western civilization, Senecas from Rome, the philosopher, Roman philosopher, he said a very interesting thing. He said, long is the way of teaching by precept. He said, if you are trying to teach somebody by your precept, it's a long way. But short and quick is the way of example. So even before Lord Chaitanya, it is a known fact that, you know, if you want to teach somebody, if you want to teach your child, or if you want to teach your disciple, or if you want to teach anyone, as a matter of fact, there is only one way to do it. You behave yourself properly. And not that you say something proper. You know, of course, there is a Muslim saying, don't do what mullah is do, do what he says. But this is not exactly a good saying. But, you know, no matter how many sayings you say like this, you know, don't do what somebody on the position of authority does, you will do what somebody is doing. And you will not do what he says if he doesn't behave accordingly. Therefore, we have in our culture this concept of acharya. And this definition of acharya is extremely important. Achinoti yah shastrartham, achare stapayatapi, svayam acharati, svayam acharati yasmat, acharyatena kirtitah. So this is a simple definition of who is acharya. Or somebody who is teaching by his example. He says, acharya, the first quality, achinoti yah shastrartham. Acharya is somebody who extracts the meaning of the shastra. Because the shastra is there to establish the behavior. The very verb root of shastra, shas means to rule. And rule means to establish the rules, to establish the laws, to establish the laws of behavior. So acharya is somebody who is achinoti yah shastrartham, who has extracted the very essence of shastra. And acharya stapayatapi, what he does, he is trying to establish this behavior in others. He knows the meaning of shastra, and he is trying to push others to behave according to shastra. But how he does it? There is a way how he does it. Svayam acharati yasmat. Who behaves the same way himself. Acharya tena kirtitah. He is acharya. He is glorious as acharya. He is glorified as an acharya. Because he has these three essential qualities of acharya. And here Svayambhuva Manu is basically reminding Dhruva Maharaj that whether he wants it or not, whether he likes it or not, he is playing the role of an acharya. Because others will look at him and will try to follow his example. There was a
as an interesting story in Chaitanya Lila, when Chaitanya befriended with a little son of a widow. He was a beautiful son, and he would come to him every day, and he would ask very intelligent questions of Acharya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And because he was so well behaved, and because he was so intelligent, and because he was so nice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a natural affection towards this little boy. And he would spend hours and hours talking with this little boy. This little boy would come and ask questions, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would answer him. And Damodar Pandit, who was the Saibya Gopi in Krishna Lila, was very fiery temperament, very fiery character. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand it. Because he saw that this will give the people the reason to blame Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for a few days he was tolerating this, but you know, every day when this boy would come out from Gambira, from the room of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would chastise him and say, "Don't come here. You stupid boy, don't come here anymore. But next day this boy, because he loved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much, he would come again. And he would, of course, look if Damodar Pandit was around and somehow or other snack in the room of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again was engaged in this behavior. And ultimately Damodar Pandit came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was he was furious. He couldn't control himself. He started blasting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "You can do whatever you like, but I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You are a master, and very soon all the people in Puri will know that you are a master." And master means pati. And pati means also husband. So he's saying, very soon all the people in Puri will know that you are a husband. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the beginning, he couldn't understand what he's talking about. He didn't have a clue, you know, what is it all about. He just looked at Damodar Pandit and said, "Yeah, what is the reason? What is this?" He said, "This boy is coming to you. He's a nice boy. He has one fault. He has mother. And his mother is young and beautiful. And you know how people are. You know, if you don't know how people are, I will tell you how people are." People gossip without a reason. People develop suspicion without any cause whatsoever. You know, if you give them a little hint, immediately this hint will become this big in their mind, and they will already know what's going on. You know, this is the human nature. Somehow or other, the also a very essential characteristic of human, that we are readily believe in something bad. Now, if something is good, we are not really ready to believe in it. You know, but if somebody tells us something bad, you know, immediately there is no proof, there is no other proof, you know, no other pramana. If somebody is saying something bad about somebody else, that's the proof in itself. That's the self-evident proof, because we know how it is. You know? This is the human society. Sometimes people are wondering, you know, why the human society is such, but this is the nature of human beings. You know, I know it. Yeah, everyone knows it. Everyone knows. You know that, you know, you do something very little and immediately it is, you know, all other people are talking, you know, what it means, what it really means. You know, so this Damodar Pandit, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started saying, you know, what do you want to, you want that people in Puri would say that you want to seduce this young widow? And that's the way you're trying to catch her. That's why you
you know, spending hours and hours with this young boy? You shouldn't do this. Stop doing this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with love. He said, you are my real well-wisher. Because I came here as a teacher. And as a teacher, I have the grave responsibility. My behavior has to be spotless. Even though I'm totally innocent, completely innocent, there is no real cause, there is no real reason for us to break our relationship with this little innocent boy. But I will do this. Not to give others the facility to criticize me. And that's, again, an extremely important point of our philosophy. And here Swayambhu Manu, he is pointing out to Dhruva Maharaj, this, you know, your sadhu. And you're supposed to teach others by your own behavior. How you behave? Very soon all the sadhus start killing each other. Why? And they say, Dhruva Maharaj did this, you know, so that's why we are doing this. So, and he's again reminding Dhruva about his identity. You're a sadhu, it means certain behavior, it means certain responsibility, certain grave responsibility. And taking this verse back to our own life, we have to understand that, again, whether we want it or not, we're establishing some example by our own behavior towards others. Other people will look at us, you know, and therefore Srila Prabhupada, he would proudly say, whether it was true or not, but he would proudly say that my disciples, they're ideal ladies and gentlemen. He basically wanted to point out how we should be. Like, that we should be ideal ladies and gentlemen. We should behave in an ideal way. Because people will judge everything we do according to our own behavior, not what we say. We can say very many lofty words and nice preaching done, but if we don't behave properly, people will not take us seriously, will not take us seriously. And they will judge Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Krishna himself, according to our behavior. If we claim to be devotees of Krishna, we have to understand how grave this responsibility is. We are not on our own. We are representative of Srila Prabhupada and the whole great line of spiritual teachers. And if we want to represent this line properly, our single and simple responsibility is to behave in an ideal manner. And that's why we have always to remember that because we are devotees, Lord Krishna always looks at us. As Swayambhu Manu says to Dhruva, Lord Krishna thinks about you. And he looks at you, what you are doing. And other devotees, they also recognized you. And therefore, they also think about you and they look at you and look what you're doing. So this is a very grave and serious responsibility and we should not take it lightly. So I guess I should finish now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes. How it is possible for a pure devotee to be overwhelmed with such an anger? That Dinabandhu Prabhu explained day before yesterday. He said that pure devotees are human beings after all. And it means that sometimes they would become angry. And sometimes they would not be able to control their anger.
for a little while.
So it happens, you know, we're human beings, and sometimes we are influenced by certain emotions. And emotions are very powerful. Like Dinabandhu Prabhu in his lecture, he was saying that devotees are not robots, you know. But because we are living in the society of the devotees, society of the devotees, the social element, it's a very powerful instrument and means to correct ourselves. And even though we're human beings and sometimes we're being overwhelmed by certain undesirable emotions, the society of devotees is there to correct us. And that's why Swayambhu Manu and other sages, they come in front of Dhruva Maharaj and says, something is wrong here. Please correct yourself.
Hare Krishna. You explained about the human tendencies of imitation, or our yes. nature to imitate others. So how would you separate behaviors of Vaishnavas towards and behavior of Sahajiyas? I mean, if someone wants to imitate some great devotee or something.
There is a difference between imitation as proper, because it was not really my goal. I didn't discriminate between the imitation and following. There is two words which are there in Sanskrit. One is anukaranam and another one is anusaranam. And anukaranam as such means imitation when you take the external behavior and try to externally, totally, completely externally imitate what somebody else is doing. And this external imitation without understanding the essence or the mood is bad. Because, of course, it may not be that bad in one sense, because ultimately by taking the external behavior, you will recreate the mood also. There was a great Russian director, he's famous all over the world, he created a certain system which is named after him, system of Stanislavsky. And this very system is like this: you behave in a certain way, and then you know you ultimately become this. You create a certain mood, and this mood will direct you. So in one sense it may be not so bad, but still, if you are totally external and you try to imitate the external behavior, that's not very productive. Therefore, the second Sanskrit word is much more accurate in a sense what we are supposed to do. We are not supposed to imitate as such, we are supposed to follow. And difference between following and imitating is that it's anusaranam. And saram means the essence. So you take the essence, you extract the essence, and essence means the mood. Like, for example, when we learn from the spiritual master, first of all, we should not learn the external behavior of spiritual master, because it's easy, and sometimes people go this easy way. You know, some disciples of Srila Prabhupada would take the can, you know, and would walk with the can, you know, because to show the connection between them and Srila Prabhupada. But that's anukaranam. That's an external thing. Anusaranam means you try to understand the mood, and by imbibing the mood, you will behave properly, even though it may be different. You know, you don't necessarily do exactly the same thing, but because the mood is there, it's the proper thing.
Can you explain to me a little bit about what an avadut is? If
Avadut.
Yeah. Well,
Avadut is a special category of living beings which are not supposed to be imitated. And in a proper culture, it's very clear that there is a certain styles which should not be imitated, and they're not serving as a teachers usually. You know, avaduts, and they're there to basically teach you very high lessons to human society, but these lessons. In a proper culture, there is a special room for this category of beings. And they're teaching that ultimately the human being is above all the rules. And when there is a, you know, complete purity of the heart, this purity of the heart can manifest in a very unusual ways. But avadhuts are not teachers. And therefore, Advaita Acharya had some problems with Lord Nityananda. Advaita Acharya was Acharya. he was a teacher. And he was a very properly behaving Brahman. And never he would see Lord Nityananda, he would say, just get lost. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Because you are just crazy. So, you know, there is a certain boundaries in the society. And avadhuts, they are within a certain boundaries. Like also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he was an ideal teacher. And therefore he himself took sannyas. And he was a preacher, and being a preacher, he was behaving in an ideal way. But he gave to 7 or 8 of his disciples Babaji Vesh, saying that they are above this, they are totally transcendental. He gave them a special place in the society, very respectful place, but he said to all his other disciples, don't associate with them. And don't learn from them, because this is not, they are teaching in a very special way, not from their behavior. And here Swayambhu Manu says, you're a preacher to Dhruva Maharaj, and it will become very clear from the next verse when he says that you are in the position of Madhyama Adhikari. The ideal teacher comes to the level of Madhyama Adhikari to preach to others, and it means behaving a certain way. And avadhuts, they are Uttama Adhikaris, they have to be in a certain place in the society, somewhat isolated from the rest of the society. Huh? To Nityananda Prabhu to preach?
No.
Because I believe because he changed his behavior by that time. Because in the beginning in Navadvip, he gave the order later to Nityananda Prabhu in Puri, but in Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu sometimes would walk totally naked. Sometimes he came to Mother Sachi, you know, with some huge turban on the head, but there was no other dress in his body, only a big turban. And sometimes he would behave like a small child, like a 5-year-old child, when an innocent child, and you say, Mother, Mother, please give me milk. He was in this mood. And sometimes he would take the mood of Lord Balaram and say, give me some Varuni, Varuni. I want to have Varuni. And Lord Chaitanya would say, you know, why do you need Varuni? You already drunk.
He would give him some Ganga water and say, drink it, it's enough for you. So, but, you know, when he changed this, I think when he became a preacher, he changed it. When he came as a preacher, also he was somewhat avadut all the time, but but still, he had this also very strong mood to preach, so he became a teacher. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Bhagavad Gita says we have five doers.
Yes.
So this anger, this anger, is it sanctioned by the super soul?
In case of pure devotee, perhaps. Pure devotee sometimes may get angry when he wants to teach somebody, because anger is the means to teach. And it means that he is just using anger, and he is not overwhelmed by anger. So if he is using anger to teach others, like Prabhupada, he would sometimes chastise very severely, and you know, whoever had a great fortune to be chastised by Srila Prabhupada, he would say that it was so heavy that, you know, it was so heavy. But in this case, Dhruva Maharaj was overwhelmed by anger, and this is a different case, and perhaps Super Soul sanctioned this emotional condition of Dhruva Maharaj. Otherwise, usually pure devotees are pretty much in control of themselves. Okay, Maharaj. Last question. I can repeat, it's too far away. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, when we get angry, then weeks later we're still like sick from it. You know, every time we see the person we're angry at, we get angry again, and
Yeah, that's true.
A little different.
When a pure devotee uses anger, then he is just uses anger, and then immediately afterwards he's totally relaxed. Kavichandra Maharaj, he pointed out that once he saw Prabhupada, who was so angry, but then just second after that he was relaxed and laughing and joking with somebody else. Whereas when we are overwhelmed by anger, you know, we are angry couple of weeks after that, still still tasting this emotional effects. So
anyway.
And the same thing, you know, when Swayambhu Manu approached Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj gave it up and he said, oh yeah, fine, I am sadhu. Now I know who I am. What should I do? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.